I dislike like darn.
Oh, look at that. It was perfect timing. Jesus.
No timings listed on the LP. We got lucky, babe. That was La Tenay with side one of Tardive Isim. It's called La Tardive. My name's Scott. I look forward to seeing you friends again next week here on Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Worldwide online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Hardy White and Miracle Nutrition coming right up.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now as I try my best. Are you trying your best? I don't know. I'm trying my best to figure out what my best is. And I'm doing my best at that. Whether I'm doing my ultimate best or the best I can do at any given time, I do not know. But to the best of my knowledge, I'm doing better. Sometimes. Good enough. By the star-spangled light, my love, love to love, you can rest your head on my shoulder. Out by the dawn's early light, my love loves to love, I will defend your right to trial. Love American style, truer than the red, white, and blue. Love Hardy style. Welcome, friends. I'm Mr. I don't want to say Mr. Hardy. That's silly. I was thinking, what would I do if I had Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? Not suddenly it was mine. Like, oh, it's no longer a municipality run by elected mayor and council, it is now of some sort of fiefdom or something of Hardy's. Not that, that's silly. I wouldn't mind having that dang model of that neighborhood, though. Oh my goodness. I like that it had no trains. I love model train villages, but trainless. Right, why interrupt it with something like that? So, oh, I'm going to build this idyllic village, and the railroad's coming through. That's gross and weird. So if I'm going to build some sort of dream city, it's not going to have things like that. Oh, look at the underpaid immigrants are laying rail in my basement. Tiny little no. So I want it to be sort of aspirational. What kind of little village would I have? And so I was thinking, you know, if I had a show like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, not on PBS, but something where very young children were going to watch, not YouTube. I don't even know what this would be now. Get my VHS tapes. They're super available. But I don't know. I'd have a show. It'd be, and people would, the children would see it, and it'd be like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but it would be Hardy White, your friend Hardy, and I would still be your neighbor, except it'd be a duplex. He doesn't need that whole, that's what I don't understand about that house. Like, oh, my, come to this house, single man. I know he's not single in real life, right? He's got a family, but he's got this side house. It's weird. Like, he bought a house. I'm going to buy a house just to use as an office. It's like, wow, okay, you're doing all right. So that's why I think Mr. Rogers, that's what's going on there, is that he's a real estate investor, primarily. And he's got, I got to use the house for something. No, he's clearly there a lot because he has fish. So I'd say he was there daily, and then it's, I think somebody comes in on the weekends to feed the fish. That makes sense to me. Perhaps Mr. McFeely, who is the postman, the delivery person. What do you call it? Delivery. I forget what you call it. Postal worker. Something like that. Bless his heart. And he comes by and feeds the fish, and I think there's probably other unseen animals there. Who knows? We don't know. Also, the neighborhood of make-believe might need trolley to run supplies. I don't know where they get... I don't know whether there's a whole trading network within the make-believe. The neighborhood of make-believe is a larger... Well, that's an interesting, because they call it the neighborhood of make-believe, but it's clearly a monarchy. I don't know what's going on there. You put kids in front of the television, you go, here, watch this. You go, oh, I think it's, anarchist propaganda or something. You go, I don't know, I don't care. Or it could be for anything. Who knows what the children are learning? I learned brand loyalty, which is a type of loyalty. It's a kind of virtue within a system. So let's say I'm not going to advocate for it. I'm just saying I learned it. I inherited it. You don't have to pass on things you inherit. A lot of people think that. They say, well, I got this thing, duvet, it's starting to smell or something. No, you can toss that or whatever. I've got a cabinet. I've been carrying around this cabinet. It was my grandfather's. You don't need to. Also, cultural things. You know, that's what we Johnsons do. You don't have to. So just because you inherit things, you can say, I'm going to sell this or get rid of it somehow or take it to the landfill. And is there a cultural landfill? Yes. It is basically the world of parody and satire and everything. It's like, I'm going to write something clever about this, like Jonathan Swift or something. And it will reveal this to be a poisonous, stupid, destructive value. And I will expose it by saying, look at these fat people eating children or something like that. Funny. It's funny stuff. No, I wouldn't have anything like that on the children's show. Or would I? I don't know. You might want to... Some things you can get away with if it's way over their head. You know? So I would definitely reference political scandals from the 60s. Because even that's a little past me, right? I say, this reminds me of the Profumo incident or something like that. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But the adults, the 90-year-olds would giggle. And then the children wouldn't know. They'd be oblivious. And what they're learning is to laugh when others are laughing, which is a very important skill. Say you're going to parties or something. I don't know what we're But you don't want to be... Nowadays, I think people have more patience when you don't laugh because they think, you're not... You're neurodivergent or something, or who knows what it is. I'm just usually very critical of their humor. And I polite laugh. Oh, my goodness. I polite laugh when you're not supposed to. All the time. Passport line. Ugh. Hate that. It gets you a cavity search, practically. Don't giggle or laugh. They think it's nervousness. And it is. But they don't know when I'm nervous. I'm nervous about something that isn't real. And they think I'm nervous because I have drugs in my bottom. So that's the thing. You don't know. And that's the other thing, shyness. Hey, kids, now we'll talk to kids. Bring them back in. So I had to dismiss them. Bring them in. I apologize. I won't talk to them about shyness. I forgot what I was going to say. But I think it was going to be something along the lines of just be phony. I don't know. I'll think it. Let me think it. Send him out again and I'll think of something. But it had, because I'm, come on back in again.
Yeah.
Shyness is real and I understand that. It's you have every reason to have anxiety around other human beings. Often it's interpreted not as fear, but as sort of aloofness or snobbery or something. And they might think that that you're better than them instead of thinking that you're inferior. Now, the hard truth is you actually do think you're better than them, but we'll get to that later. That's next. That's level 4 of self-analysis. First, you have to learn to forgive yourself. And once you learn to forgive yourself and really love yourself like a child, then you should take a hard look at just what a horrible jerk you are. Then you can do it, because then you can do it with some affection. But don't skip the stages, you know. Stage 4 is going to be hard. But you need to be there with, with all the weapons locked in the closet. Oh, I think I'd be a good guide to some people. Maimonides, the great Jewish thinker, wrote something called Guide for the Perplexed. And what a wonderful low bar. That's what I want to start doing, is writing books for people really confused. Right? I'm going to be, here, Hardy White's book for the just completely disoriented. I am wandering in the wilderness. I don't know what I'm doing. I am so rando, as the kids say now. Which is feels like an old nickname. I feel like people were called that in Westerns. But I want to help you, and perhaps you can come into my little house here, my little suburban, where is it supposed to be, Pittsburgh? Mine's not in, I don't know Pittsburgh well enough, I love it, but I don't know it well enough to sort of like name neighborhoods. So I've got to pick towns I know or something, like Atlanta or Tallahassee or Lexington, Kentucky or something like that, and name neighborhoods. How about he's up there on Zandale, in the Zandale neighborhood in Lexington. My house is. Not my real one, but that's where my fun house is. Not fun house, that sounds creepy. I don't know, the ones where I have children in. Something. Anyway, it's all ages. What you don't ever see is the crew. Also, he rarely has children in, and when he does, he's like really very respectful. And doesn't get in their space or anything like that. You notice that? He doesn't touch them without asking or anything like that. And you see, they used to do that on children's shows. You know, they move them around like they were puppets or dolls or something. I don't want some, you know, weatherman touching my child. So, and it would be like that. The weatherman would dress up as a clown on the weekends and read the funnies and like grab children by the hair. Sit down, we're going live. Like that. It was horrible times. It's bad now, but it's so funny. This is the worst of times right now to the future. It always is, perpetually. See, it's also the best of times. Someone smarter than that pointed that out. Isn't that funny? It can be both. Everything is relative. I think it's wonderful. Some people say, no, that can't be. It's awful. It's confusing and disorienting. I adjust quickly, maybe. But I think it's great just to know that there's nothing set in stone and it's all foam or something is lovely to me. What a lovely thing. I'd love to think that the whole universe is some kind of foamy foam. What's wrong with that? I think it's like marshmallow whip stuff. Or better yet, I know what it is. It's the froth on an egg cream. Nothing better. I know that seems really kind of up north for me to like, but there's absolutely was a deli in Atlanta. And I used to go there, and here's the thing, too. Here's this deli in Atlanta, right next to a Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, and they had the egg creams. There's no egg in it. And I would go there to this deli. And the deli was also, let me point out, very treif. It wasn't like a kosher deli or anything. It was just culturally, you know, because they'd sneak over, they'd be in disguise. You'd see a lot of they'd put on, you know, I don't know what they do. You put on you put your hat on backwards and you go, I'm an internet drummer or something. No, they didn't have those back then. I haven't been there many. Atlanta's changed so much. It's all the roads have burned up and everything. But I loved it. And I've loved every city I've lived in. And it's always felt like the right thing to do when I left. So it's time to go. A lot of times they'll ask you politely, not literally, but sometimes the city will say, you know, dismissed. New York does that a lot. You're fired, it says. Just like somebody else. And you're, all right, okay. I don't know what I did. Oh, you're welcome here, though. And because it's you're not really here, and it's not a real house, there's no capacity. Because I know I've been in, like, people have, like, maybe a religious ceremony at home or something like that, or some kind of, and they cram in a bunch of old people, and then someone faints because it's a tiny, modest little house. It's lovely. It was expensive. But, you know, like that, 20s poor people houses are $1 million now. So, but they're still small. So, you're all crammed in there, and it's catered, but an old person goes down. There's nothing you can do about that. Well, you could have fewer people there. And if you can't decide, make everything a lottery. I'd be willing to have being invited to weddings work like jury duty. Because it's really, oh, bless you, all you couples, it isn't really the honor that you think it is, I think, sometimes. Because, like, you pick the date, you know, save the date. Crap. Because you didn't, it's not like you called everybody and go, what's on? What do you think's a good date? It's just like, this date is, put a big blot on your calendar now. That's going to, you got to, it's an obligation. It isn't like religious obligations that you know when they're going to be. Even if it's the dang old lunar calendar, you can say, well, approximately, you know, there's going to be a full moon here, so it's going to be Shababadoops. But, you know, for weddings just pop up. They're like pop-up holidays. Dang it. And then you got to, you know, there's an expense. And then there's like an obligatory gift. But we don't even live in a culture where people care. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, if you don't give them a gift, they won't remember, and then you won't get one. It isn't like that at all here.
I don't remember who gave me what.
It's like pointless. It's just extortion. And I always make them think they lost it. Did you not get my gift? Here, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try doing PayPal for the third time. And if this time I can't spare anymore. I'm sorry. Or, you know, or I bought it and then you name a defunct store. I got it electronically through you know, B Mac and Ulties. Well, they don't have B Mac and Ulties anymore. Dang. Who did I pay? And that happens. Oh, my goodness. You'll get your china. You don't want that anyway. And also, I don't know. I think this is what I want to do. This is a horrible, horrible long-term. If you like long-term practical jokes, a couple gets married. And they put in for a specific vacuum cleaner or something like that, a model. Or some appliance. Then you wait 20 years. And then you buy it, and you give them this outdated thing, you know? And you say, that's what you get for being so specific and in your greed. You know, you just, oh, we'd be happy to have anything. That's what most people would say. You go, I want this specific blender. Don't we all? I'd love that. I'd love to have, oh, my God, I'd love to have a blender. I do. I have a really good one. I have a good one because you could put a human hand in mine, and it would take care of it. It indistinguishable from the other ingredients in your smoothie. I think it's too much. I like there to be, you know, I dull the blades when I get it. Because I like to, you know. But things are too efficient sometimes. You know? And there used to be, cars used to break down more maybe. And then you have a little time. There's an episode of Andy Griffith Show where it's called What's Your Hurry or something like that, where a person breaks down and they're on amphetamines, but they're heavy, which is weird, but they're like, I gotta get out of here, and they become really frustrated with the pace in the town. Now the pace is like that because Mayberry puts Quaaludes in their water. That's why everybody's so sort of laconic and I'll get to it. That's not really how life is anywhere. You know, if somebody tells you your car's going to be ready. Anyway, so, and bless the heart, something wrong with Goober and Gomer. That's not naivete. I mean, I don't want to say stuff, but. So this gentleman comes in town, his car breaks down in Mayberry, and he's having to stay with Andy, who is normal, who goes through life just normal among this whole group. It's so lovely, right? So write me is normal. And then, but he loves it there because if you're the only normal one, he's like a genius in this town. The man is very impatient because his car is being worked on by Gomer or Goober, Gobner, the combination when they work together. And and they're like, come on, man. And they say, let's go. They go fishing, but they go burn one, and they come back, and he's just a little high. It's country weed; it's not real strong, and they sit on the porch with Barney and all, and the acoustic guitars, and they sing a little. I don't know if he sings, but he's listening to them sing, And, you know, Andy's practically a professional singer, I think. And maybe then the Darling family comes by and they throw rocks at him and also sing and blow the bottle. And what else did the Darling family do? They sing some good ones. There's a time for us when life is young and so are we. The grass is greener over yonder. Oh, I'd have to do that on my show, maybe. Death, oh death, how can it be that I should come and go with thee? Like that. I don't know if the children would like that. Why not? Let them expose them to that stuff early. It's all in up in their cartoons and everything. I can't imagine how many times I had to watch somebody like Fred Flintstone get mangled or something like that. I knew he wasn't getting hurt for real. I felt like Barney was, though. One time, you know, that goes a couple seasons in, Mel Blanc got in a car accident and he was out for a while. And his voice is done by Butler, Dawes Butler. So that's why, and everybody my era knows that.
Yeah, hey, Fred, you got something like that?
Hey, Fred.
Who's that? What's wrong with Barney? He's got, everybody said, my grandfather's guy, he's got adenoids. I go, what? Okay. He's got adenoids. But I don't know really what was wrong. It was years later before I found out. I go, and they're all alcoholics. But, you know, you don't need to see behind the scenes. And that was a message in my youth often. The Louis Nye Munsters episode, where inexplicably Eddie Munster believes that a character on TV is a real person and not just somebody dressing up like that. It's hard to believe. But then he finds out that, you know, it'd be weird if what they were an ethnicity or something, but they're, you know, the fact that they identify as monsters doesn't make them. I don't understand what's going on in that show. I got to be honest with you. I know that the father is assembled. This is the Munsters I'm talking about. He's assembled from body parts. I believe he married into a vampiric family. So I guess they're immortal vampires. Who knows whether he's immortal? I think he'll probably have his parts replaced, you know, indefinitely if they are able to revive him from the dead. The daughter is clearly not his. It could be. But she wouldn't be. Why would she be a vampire? That's the thing, unless she had been, no one ever bit her. But that wouldn't make her ugly or anything. That's the other thing I don't, because everything's opposite day on that thing. Oh, ugly's beautiful and sad's happy. I don't know. I'm confused by the premise, and I just sit there and say, I hate all this. I hate it. I hate it. And then when I grew up, I discovered it's the template for all entertainment, so shut up. You just accept it. It's okay. They're just whatever. I go, no, they're not whatever. It's how we're communicating with each other. And look, it's all ruined. It's all strange and tainted. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just want to have a little house that people can visit. And then we learn little lessons. Like Rogers. Which just calls him Rogers. He wasn't in the army, but if you were like, oh, you're a Rogers. I remember Rogers. But I don't know. Rogers from Pittsburgh. But it's Mr. Reverend, I guess, is a ordained Presbyterian minister. And normally they make you have a church. And he's like, you know, he's like a loophole, you know, this is sort of a church. It's theater. In church theater. Like that. And they're going, ooh, touche. And they let him keep it. So he's a Presbyterian minister, which is, that might be okay, I don't know. If you split hairs about denominations or something. But wonderful. My man, and he didn't like, you know, incorporate it into the show or anything, you know. It wasn't like, and when the fish died, it didn't go, that's our, we did that. He died because we're bad. He just said, you know, the fish die and you scoop them out and whatever. Just a fish. He didn't go that far. My show would. God bless your heart. It was like a beautiful, you know, now it's just dead thing. Don't make too much of it. That's why you got to be in the moment, little children. Oh, I miss you, miss muscle, you miss the womb. Just move on. You got a movement. Don't live in the future or anything like that. I mean, do your homework. But that's also living in the moment. And then it'll accumulate. That's the thing about doing your homework. It's just wonderful moment living. Just get it done. Get it done each day. And then at the end, you'll be qualified to go on and learn more. And that's what we tell children. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can tell them anything. We used to tell them worse things. And I suppose I have been told, sometimes you need to go and get hypnotized to figure out what you've been told that you didn't realize you were told, you know? And smoke cigarettes. That was probably told that, but in movies, subtle forms and like that. I don't currently, because other voices got in my head, you know.
You're coughing blood.
Okay. I wasn't, but I mean, like, I didn't want to. Children.
What is this? This man's scaring me.
I'm not scaring you. Come on. Stop it. I love you. You can see the love in my heart. You're laughing at me. I'm just clowning you. Because you really want to get to the neighborhood and make-believe. And that's fun, too. Where's the trolley going? Like, is it in the wall? It's hard to explain. I was really kind of interested in what metaphysically was going on Mr. Rogers. And also the kind of meta, the layers of artificiality. Of, you see what I'm saying? Like, you say, oh, this is my house. No. So you zoom in on the model and you go, that's not real. That's a model. Then you go in this house. You go, I think that's a set. I didn't at the time know that. But I was like, what? Did they knock out a retaining wall? How's the camera just doing that? But it's a set. But then they go, now we're going Inception or whatever. Next level, pretend. And I don't know whether they, I'd love them to keep going. They go in the neighborhood of make-believe and X the owl, like, you know, now look at my little puppet show. And you descend further, maybe into flat land, and it becomes just a two-dimensional representation of what's the right thing to do or not to be scared of going down the drain when you take a bath. I came into Mr. Rogers' albums later, I think, in life, as an ironic 20-year-old or something. Because I have a few, but I think, this is not the one I had when I was a child. This one's different. The one I had as a child had Scintillate, Diminutive Stellar Orb, which is the pretentious, verbose version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star that their monarch, Charles III, delivers. It's sort of his signature, and he does it as a song on the thing. So that's fun. And it's all make-believe. And the puppets are just, they seem like they're ones he had already. So I'm going to do that too. He didn't make, it's like that Lady Elaine puppet's old witch puppet or something, and you just pulled the, ripped the hat off of it. You know, yeah, so what? I love that, you know? And they're not the same type of puppet even. But you notice there was no Muppet-style puppet on there. That, thank God, with the slit-open head as a mouth and everything. That's not how people... That didn't write. Some of his, the mouth didn't even move, and it doesn't have to. I've got friends like that. And, you know, they don't... You got to try to move your mouth a little. Somebody might be spying on you from a distance, or they might be lip-reading, or for whatever reason. And you can't just do this. But I do. I have some young people speak like ventriloquists like that. I don't know what you're saying. I thought, I knew this would happen. I knew when I was young, and my mother said, you're mumbling. I don't even know what you're saying. I knew this would happen to me. And then young people would say things to me, and I'd be, oh, dang it. The language has moved on. I love it. I love to be. I don't mind being. I tried to be confused. In college, you know, you try hard. You go, I want to be so disoriented that I'm scared. And it's, well, just wait a few decades. And everybody knows this. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We're going to go to the neighborhood of make-believe now. Live. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't even thought about like a train effector. And he's got that trolley sound that sounds like it's really coming from the model trolley. Model trolley. Nobody in that world is the scale of the trolley. That bothered me too. I was like, who are the people that ride in the trolley? Are these like little people? Are these puppets the giants of this world and the tiny folk who ride the trolley? We don't see them. Are they underground doing all the work? You know, like kitchens in a East Village Indian restaurant or something like that. They still have that. Listen, it's beautiful. Somebody lied and told me there's just one kitchen in New York underground and they all the restaurants. I believed it. But I told people that for years. I go, do you know there's just one kitchen? I don't know why. I was 40. I'm kidding you, because I thought that it's good to tell stories and everything. Also, I don't even know why I bothered to change clothes. I don't think you all care or can see. But I feel more comfortable. That's a thing. You know, we're about to go in neighborhood of make-believe, and you're going to be doing really the lion's share of the work because I can't show you anything. So, well, be very descriptive. No, I don't want to be, but you do that. I'll just say it's a castle, and then you pick the castle. I know approximately what it's going to look like in your mind. So it's going to be something between Mad Ludwig and some mega mansion that's near your house that you guys call the castle. So that's where when I say that. Or if I say like a certain character lives in a tree, that's going to be, I don't need to describe the tree. And I will never, never use adverbs. Why would anybody do that? They were only made to as a trap. So you can spot certain type of writers. And they're like, oh, whoops. He's, you know, he wrote that carelessly. Listen to me. You don't have to listen to me. I want to be real clear about that. Because I read one time Hippocratic Oath or something, which I thought meant you do the opposite. But first, do no harm. And then the other one's just like, don't tell anybody about the disease of the person you're treating. Now, when I go on the air, I do that second one mostly. I try not to tell people what's wrong with you. That's between you and I. And
how do you know? I haven't written you or anything.
I know. I know if you're, you know what I'm saying? Let's say I have a kebab stand, and you come to my kebab stand, and every day you get a kebab. I'm certain you're not a vegetarian. So I feel like that. You're on this show. There's certain things I can say about you. And they are neutral. They're not criticisms, and they're certainly not compliments. They're just observations. And we've all found one another in that wonderful. You're like, you know, all when you have a store, you realize this. Well, I'm going to have an ice cream store. Well, you're about to meet everybody who loves ice cream. And you go, uh-oh, yes. Exactly. Because almost everybody loves ice cream. And now you've just invited everybody into your store. But, you know, you can niche it out, and then you can kind of approximate. The problem is don't really ever have a store or anything you're interested in. Because then you'll meet people like yourself, and that's too much. That's too much to take. It's Dickensian, you know, like the Christmas Carol.
Don't show me any more, Death.
You know, I've seen enough of yourself. I need a reflection. Just take a look at yourself in the mirror, but then step away. That's what I'm looking at the man in the mirror. All right, I got the point. Now I'm gonna go off and be better. I'm gonna destroy the mirror, cause I think I'll become fixated on it. Woo! Shamboon. And that's right, you want to reflect. Oh, I want to look at myself, take a long, hard look at myself, and then maybe we'll make out, me and me. Don't look at yourself. That's the thing. You look at your reflections, two things could happen. And both of them are unwarranted. And one is you could fall in love with your reflection, and the other thing is you could come to hate your reflection. And both of them, I'm telling you, stop looking into the lake. That's all I can say. Is you look at briefly, this is what looking at your reflection is for. It's for getting stuff off your face that you don't know is there, like a piece of something that's going to make somebody else sick. Like sick by them and like, ooh, what is that on your face? You know, oh, lettuce. But it's gross. I don't know why it's gross, but it is. Oh, no, it's intestine. I was eating a live giraffe or something. Oh, these are lion characters talking. But, so that's, you look in the mirror, get it done, move on. And I struggle with self-consciousness. But self-consciousness can also be, you know, your quest for self-awareness. You can become self-fixated, you know. Don't do that either. What should I do? I was not going to tell you what to do. I'm really speaking for myself. Because I'm not even sure if anyone's going to hear this. Because the sun just exploded behind me, and I'm pretty sure that's it. But I'm going to keep going. There is no reason to, you know, but it didn't. You're not supposed to say that on the radio because Orson Welles mucked it up for everybody. This just in. You can't do that. I didn't really do that. This just in, the end of everything. No. It makes it, that's dumb, though. You got to think of the dumbest person every time you do something. Okay. Not dumb. That's pejorative. Okay, let me say this. Who's to blame? It's really the system, you know, because you get your information and your entertainment out of the same hole, and it's going to get, one of them's going to get polluted. So when that happened with radio, you said, but that's where I get my information, but then entertainment's coming out of it, but the lies are coming out of this. That's because they're coming out of the same orifice. The radio or the television or anything. And the internet is the greatest orifice that's ever been created. And through it courses it's a cornucopia of fruit and poop. And you might say, well, doesn't that just ruin everything? Doesn't that make the fruit inedible? You said it. I'm on the old style shoot here. Yes, I am. I'm on the radio. I'm on broadcast because we want to do it. I want to send it to the ultimate black hole, a black hole. And that's where this show is headed. And everything else on WFMU and other radio. Not all radio. I think some, to be honest, some markets aren't going. But like some stuff, like just decades of Cleveland radio is already there. Already on the event horizon. But some, you know, some markets are dull or they're, I'm looking forward to seeing sort of like, you know, 70s South Florida, but that's just me. That was interesting. Oh, my goodness. But what's on the computer is eating everything. It's eating all your things that have happened to you. That's the big robot.
Just keep feeding me memories. All right. And ideas.
All right, I had a couple ideas this morning.
Oh, yummy. Write them on me.
That's what it does. Thank you for sucking away all of my thoughts and ideas.
Okay, in return, here, have some,
Oh, thank you. There's a name for that. I'm forgetting what it is. I'm trying to remember the name for that, like brown water or whatever it's called. Just waste water. That's what's being spewed, a lot of it. But, you know, I enjoy it. In the 60s, I believe it was under Kennedy, there was a guy named Newton Minow.
and he was the schematist for occasions. And he was testifying before Congress, and he very famously said, you know, TV was a vast wasteland. And he went on to be real specific about, you know, mentioned like Westerns and things like that. So screw them, because they were good. That's not the wastelandy part, dum-dum. But that's why they named the SS Minnow the Minnow on Gilligan's Islands. It was a kind of up yours, you self-righteous. But like, you know, he ended up ultimately being right. I mean, but the thing is that they had like proper theater and stuff on TV when he was saying that. So he's bashing it then. And even like it's good now, there's stuff out there. And I'm not really. I think we've got a thousand. We live in a you know, so there's nothing like Love American Style on now. We live in a land of 10,000 Love American Styles. I believe we have an abundance of everything. It's great. It's great to have too much of something, isn't it? We all know that. Like too many, like eating too many melons. I wish I could eat too many melons and explode like one of the King Georges. It's something that happens. But gluttony, that's a privilege. That comes, you have to have something to glutton. So it's kind of nice. It's one of those sins you go, hey, I must be doing okay if I can do the sin of gluttony. Because I know a lot of people are struggling. But here, you know, hey, feel good about something. And also, I think as a ring of hell, it's not far down there. I think it's only one or two down. And it's only one, it's like a ring lower of people who overvalue their property or something, or whatever, manipulate or insider trade, I think is level one. Well, that's pretty bad. Well, you know, you need to be kinder. I don't like people have power messing with others, though. I don't like that. And that's why on the weekends I dress up like a superhero and go to sleep. And in my dreams, oh, I avenge things. I might be actually acting it out. I don't know. I'm on a lot of powerful drugs. But I think I'm staying in my bed. But if not, I'm out there on the streets righting wrong and wronging rights. And I don't mean to do that. But, you know, if you're going to interfere, you got to be prepared. That sometimes, about half the time, you're going to make things worse, but at least you're changing things. I'm out there and I'm putting some change in there on the streets, and I try not to be violent about it, but there's lots of property destruction, most of it inadvertent. And I know you say, well, if you're really protecting people's property, like against theft and everything, why just, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to teach them a lesson too about stuff, you know? Say, well, maybe you shouldn't have had all those jewels in your jewelry store.
But that's what?
I don't know. Again, every time I come up with it, the internet's taught me that too, is that all my opinions are stupid and wrong. And I believe. So I've taken that to heart, because that's not a bad thing to get wrong. So this is the smartest thing I've ever said. This is Hardy's Pascal's Wager. Look up Pascal's Wager. I don't want to explain it to you. It's an argument for the existence of God.
You might as well believe.
That's basically what it is. My argument is this. There is no downside to assuming you're stupid and everything you know is wrong. There's really no downside. Like, so assuming, because that could be wrong. So it negates itself. It's like, well, that's liberating. I'm right and wrong at the same time. I can actually say something that if it's goodness gracious, it's wonderful. But really, it is pretty good advice. Always stay curious. You should stay curious, because what you think you've learned is probably already obsolete. It's good to be in a field like that. I know, as somebody who's just now getting into VCRs and... that, you know, gosh, it can be 1 minute, you know, you're renting tapes, and the next minute, pew, pew. I was pretty, you know, excited that my public access show in Tallahassee got rented at the video place during the DVD, that brief period where the videotapes dried up, but people were renting DVDs. For some reason. And then I guess, I don't know whether it was Netflix or something ended all that, too. But people would rent it. And I'd go in and say, did anybody rent my tape? And they go, no. Okay. And because the guy I worked there put it up, which is great. But I think I know somebody, and he's listening. And you're listening right now, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. But I'm just saying that was very, I appreciate that. And I know you're listening. And then you're going, no, people rented it. I bet they did. I hope they did. And because you just want, you want to think, hey, there's people I don't know who are looking at pictures of me in their room. And I think that's great. That's both terrifying and frightening. But with this, Mr. Rogers, go to the neighborhood of make-believe. All right, let's go. Dude, dude, who's going to be there? Is Butchie there? Do the voices. I'm not going to do that. That is Mr. Rogers doing that. Those voices, too. Here we go now to the city of imagination. Belief-making city of imagination. Town. Hey, Butchie. What are you doing here? Well, I'm showing my friends the city of imagination.
Yeah, where I'm working.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to see that you can create a place and then live and work in it and imagine scenarios.
The scenario now is I'm trying to make money by chucking people out of the supermarket.
Yeah, I get that, but it's good for kids to also see that there's different types of jobs.
But then show them a job worth having. This is not the job I imagined.
Yeah, these are 3 for $4. Oh, well, I'll leave you. I just wanted to, it's good to see you, and helps the kids and not so young kids imagine a supermarket. And so I'll go see Lou, I guess. Hey, Lou.
Hey.
What are you doing?
Waiting for a bus.
All right. Bus come yet?
Nope. If it were, I'd be on it.
Okay. Hard day at work?
Yeah, kind of tired.
Yeah. Yeah. What you reading?
Well, I was reading the instructions of what to do if you just drank poison.
Oh my goodness, did you just drink poison?
No, I'm kidding you. I'm just trying to avoid you.
Oh, why?
I'm kind of tired. I don't want to talk right now. I'm not my best self.
Oh, you don't have to be, your best self when you're talking to me?
Yes, I do!
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it was a bad... I should have called.
What do you mean?
Well, I was in another reality with my friends. I call them television friends.
Oh, are there sentient televisions?
No. They're not televisions that are alive, television friends. They're people that are listening.
We used to call those listeners.
Yeah, listeners, but I'm pretending that I'm on TV.
That's sad.
It's not sad for me. It's fun. I like it. So, what, is your bus supposed to be here?
Yeah, it's super late.
Yeah, well, I probably better be getting back.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
What?
That you should be getting back.
Lou, you don't seem yourself.
This is not a scheduled visit. Listen, a lot of times when you're coming to wherever you think this is, it's not made up for the people who live there. So let's say you go to say, oh, I'm enjoying the Sword and Pussycat series. I want to go to Sword and Pussycat Land and have adventures. But see, they're actually busy doing daily stuff they need to do there.
Ah, so it's not all adventures.
No, it's not all adventures and fun.
Well, we learned something today. Oh, wait a minute. We got to take the train back. Oh, so here we go back on our little imaginary train. It's like the PATH train, but it goes under the River Styx. So that's fantastic. So you got to pay the ferryman. Right now, just tap and go. It'd be great. All right, and we're back. We're back. Outside of our imagination, or are we still imagining? I think we are. We are always world-creating. And that's wonderful. There's worlds that all of us all relative. You know, Horton here's a who, but also we're the who, and we're all and we're the big people who hear the who, but also we're who's that are heard. So we're heard who's and who are heard hearers. We are who hearers and heard who's. We're heard who's who are also who hearers. And although it's difficult to say, I think it's worth taking a second to try to say it. And listen, and be why be more compassionate? Because I'm coming over to your house. So you can go back to being brutal and destructive. But while I'm there, I would love it if you were gentle and brought me a sandwich. Anytime you ask, basically, is that bad? Is that wrong? I am the guest. No, I can fend for myself. That's the thing that makes me want to wait on people is when they say that at my house. I go, you're not fending for yourself. Let's just you go where you're told, and I will bring you a thing. But don't go around fending. Don't fend it through all fend through stuff. What were you doing? Oh, I'm fending for myself. It looks like you're going through my drawers. That's not fending. And I got things in the kitchen just so. So you tell me what you need and everything. I like to, just my whole house, I feel, it's a retail space. So treat it like you would a retail space. Come in, you say. But it's one of those fancy ones where you sit on the couch and I'll go get and show you the dresses. But you please stay there. Don't go looking around. That's why I used to have parties. But one time I invited, and I still want to put down a whole group of people, some borrowers. They're little tiny people that take things. And, no, I mean, like, not human. Like, I don't think they're human. Oh, what are you? That's awful. No, I don't mean that. I just mean, I mean they're not, like, the smaller than the smallest humans. They're, you know, squirrels, smaller than squirrels or whatever. You've seen the movies. Like leprechauns. Well, some of them are called borrowers. I don't know. It depends where in, like, fairyland they're from. They have different names. So, I don't know even which kind these were. The cabinet dwelling type. They live in cabinets. And you should get, when you get a new home or you're buying a home, a lot of times the inspector, they don't even tell you they look for them. They go, we're looking for very tiny people who live in the walls and take things. And I don't know how they, I don't think it's the scat that they find. These are very clean, clean people. And you're not going to find their scat anywhere. They aren't like rats or anything like that. They're sophisticated. They're refined. They have holes, you know. The stuff that goes on in your walls is amazing. I lived in an apartment building in France, and inside the walls were actually just generations of cockroaches, I think, going back to the 30s. That's horrifying. So you wanted to keep that barrier mightily intact, because whenever that barrier was broken, there was seepage, insect seepage. So keep that locked tight. But here, this is better. It's better to have little people. It is creepy, though, you know. And I don't know whether it's creepier if they speak your language or they speak another language. So if you were to encounter, this is just I love to do thought experiments. Right now, you're sitting someplace at a table or something like that, and up on the table hops a little person, and they are the size of, let's say, like a G.I. Joe. So I don't know what you're talking, 10 inches? Something like that. So G.I. Joe person, that's how high they are. That's how tall they are. A little perfectly proportioned. And I say perfect proportion. That's in the eye of the beholder. But, you know, humanoid pops up. Now, is it more terrifying if it speaks at you in a human language or goes like starts screaming at you or something, you don't know what it's saying? Well, that's probably more terrifying. But if it hopped up and it, you know, it's like, I've been cursing your family for generations or something like that. I don't know. How do you know us? You're a white, aren't you? Oh, what do you mean? I came here from the old country in a crate of bananas. Banana? They have bananas. I don't know. Well, I don't want to ask where you're from because of the accent, because then it's wrong. I'm doing the wrong accent if I would say a place. But if I never say the place, it's not the wrong accent. Right, all, who's writing this down? Is anybody writing anything down? I feel like I'm wasting a lot of this that could have... Now, back in the day, I would have put all this into a little book that you buy at a novelty store and read on the toilet. But now I just feel like I'm just putting it out there and it's just gone. And I don't know whether y'all write it down. And I would love if some of you were wood burning some of the things I say. And, you know, you get a nice little piece of wood or something. And then you write something I say resonates with you or it's pithy. And you put it on the plaque, say Harry White under it, like that. They do that with quote, you quote all people all the time. I see that go into people's home and it's like always, it's usually Rilke. But it could be anybody that they do that with. And the Meemaws love that. Meemaws love German poetry, just in general. I saw that. You know what's so funny? I don't want to, never mind. But there could be, I don't know if you know the comic strip, Little Bubby Child, but there could be a German poetry themed one. Let's just say. What are you saying? I'm just saying. Some people know things about things that you don't think they know because you underestimate them. So that's what I'm saying. Some people you think they're quaint or dumb or something, and then they really have some knowledge of something else.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I was talking about little G.I. Joe people jumping on your desk. I'm not on drugs or anything. Not right now. And not for any condition. But I'm not, definitely not hallucinating. That's what people who are hallucinating say. Is it, though? I don't know. I think I might recognize some things because I'm one of those people that... you know when you were a kid and you watch like old Disney movies, there's always people that were rubbing their eyes at real stuff. Like, oh, I must be dreaming. There's always some character like that. And you go, no, what you're seeing isn't even improbable necessarily. You know, a dog on water skis. I see that every day on Instagram now. Can you imagine how I'd rub my eyes right out of my skull if I did that every time I saw it? You know, a dog dancing. Everything seems possible. So that's good. No more cartoonish disbelief. We don't have to do that. That was a burden. What? Now they got Herbie the Love Bug exists in reality. This self-driving son of a gun.
Herbie's not going to like this.
But that's real. That's, it's just, but a Tesla or something.
Tesla's not gonna like this!
That's, my buddy Hackett. I did that in fourth grade and got some laughs. Now I can't do it because when I do the kind of side mouth, Buddy Hackett side mouth thing, all my mustache and beard hair gets, in there. And it changes the timbre of the impression. And I remember I did lots of... Because I'd watch those shows, you know, as a kid, you know, these variety shows. Now, so I had impressionists on. And then as a little kid, let's say 9, that's when you're doing magic and you want to be an impressionist. So I'm a little kid doing Jimmy Cagney. And I just I crave hearing that again. A little before your voice changed, kid, you know.
All right, you guys.
Kind of stuff, you know. I love it. I could listen to just that. Children doing impressions. But even that's rare. That seems like we're not teaching kids the same thing. And as it is, it's cringy enough being a theater kid. You don't want them to really completely humiliate themselves, but it's so worth it. It's worth it though. Sometimes I know that I was on, you know, Stairway to Stardom when I was a child or something in the '80s, you know, and well, thank you. Thank you for tap dancing on Stairway to Stardom. And I wasn't laughing at your expense. I was just like, this is wonderful, wonderfully absurd. So, you know, if that's you in the tri-state, what's the third state? The state in the area, the duo state, you can call it, area, whatever you're in, Brooklyn. And you're my age. Oh, bless you. bless all of you, of all ages. I hope that I do want to reach out and touch your hearts. I know I'm silly, but I know the burden of being alive, and I know that things are hard often. And I just want to, I hope that I'm saying things that are useful to you. And I hope that your heart feels a little lighter, not so light like it's coming up in your throat. So, oh, my heart's so light, I'll choke it on it. No, no, oh, bless you. I just want you to know that I recognize, I acknowledge your struggle. And I thank you for listening and continue to listen to this radio station. And you are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Worldwide radio, is that a freeform radio? Oh, my goodness, friends, thank you for listening. And I will see you again next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.